Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, The Grace of Giving. And now with the word, here's Brother John.
Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, I want to take you straight into the New Testament and show you how the principles that governed that prosperity in Isaac are the same principles that operate in the New Testament. For the next few nights, we're going to be just studying passages in 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And all I want to do is to just take the first two verses tonight. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. The first thing that I want to say is this. In comparison with giving under the law, you don't need much grace to give under the law. It's a no-brainer. You count off 10% and give it, and that's it. But under the new covenant, there is an expansion. There is a limitation. Whereas the law limited you in terms of the amount. Under the new covenant, all the limits are taken off, and you suddenly discover a supernatural power operative in the realm of giving. Take the churches of Macedonia. Paul says, in a great trial of affliction. So the circumstances are not positive. They're not conducive for great giving. They're going through a hard trial. Now watch what happens. In a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Now, that's a formula that requires the supernatural intervention of God. They are deeply poor, but they have an ingredient called supernatural joy that makes their trial of affliction, with their joy and their poverty mixed in, become the occasion of great liberality. That is inexplicable in human terms, and it's inexplicable under the law. Why? Why did it happen? Because, says Paul, there was grace given to them. Now let me talk to you a little bit about grace. In the Church of Jesus Christ, we have generally regarded grace as a benevolent attitude in the heart of God towards us. We have defined grace as God's unmerited favor, and so we've seen it as a attitude in the heart of God toward us, by which He does certain kindly things to us, including forgiving us of our sin, adopting us into His family, etc., etc. But you need to understand this. Grace is much more than that. Grace is an operative power that works in us believers to accomplish in and through us which we could not normally and humanly accomplish of our own selves. See, grace is much more than an attitude in the heart of God. It is a power that works within us. And that's so clear when you look through the Scriptures. And if you want to read or hear tapes about it, James Ryle from Vineyard Church in Boulder, Colorado, his teaching of grace is just outstanding. As you know, he's grasped this whole concept that grace is more than an attitude in the heart of God. It's a force that operates in the lives of believers. So listen to what he's saying is this. I can open up to a grace, an impartation from God that brings me to live in a supernatural place in the realm of giving. And because I'm operating in a supernatural realm in the area of giving, I'm going to operate in a supernatural realm in the area of receiving. Because Paul's going to teach in the next chapter that the measure in which you sow is the measure in which you receive. And so their supernatural giving is going to determine a supernatural harvest. He says, he who sows much, or sows sparingly will reap also sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap also bountifully. Now, I get tremendously heartened by that verse, because Bev and I have walked through those times when we had nothing. I remember when we had been in America 2 years, and we were going through a hard summer. There were not many open doors for ministry, and it was August. In fact, it was by this time late, almost into September. It was still in August. And we had nothing. And I was praying one Wednesday morning and saying, God, we sure do need a big breakthrough. And he spoke to me that morning and he said, the next money that comes in is not bread to eat, it's seed to sow. And I'm going to explain that when we get into chapter 9. The differentiation between seed and bread. And so I said to Bev, the Lord spoke to me this morning and said that the next money that comes in is not bread for us to consume, it's seed to sow. And so that night, Bev went to a conference. And as she was walking into the door, a lady gave her some money and said, I was going to give this to you afterwards, but the Lord told me to give it to you before the meeting. And so Bev took it and slipped it into her purse, and it came offering time. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her to give what she had received. And she set up an argument with the Lord. But Lord, you know, we need gas in the car. We need food. We were in a critical situation. I'll tell you how critical in a moment. And she tearfully finally settled it with the Lord and said, okay, this is seed to sow. Pulled it out, and it was a bill, $100 bill. She came home that night and she said, you'll never believe what I did tonight. She said, I sowed $100 and I started jumping around and getting excited. I said, can you imagine the kind of harvest that must be coming in if God gave you $100 seed to sow? That means he's fixing to give us a big harvest. He gave us $100 to sow. Wow, bless God, we're going to have a big harvest. That was Wednesday. Thursday, nothing came in. Friday, now this is truth, this is not evangelistically speaking. We had 32 cents in the bank. We had our last bread and last milk. I mean, we're talking about no other food in the house. This is it. And we're having our family devotions that morning, reading the Word and praying together. And the Spirit of God touches our daughter Tracy, who was at that point about 8 or 9 years of age. And she speaks a word of knowledge and says, the Lord's going to give us two checks of $1,000 each. Now, she didn't know how to express it, so she expressed it in a form of a dream. And we just started rejoicing, and right there at the breakfast table started praising the Lord for the two checks for $1,000. I went out jogging. When I came back, there was Bev and the kids standing outside the front of the house waving. The Lord had woken up a man that morning and said, give Bev and John a check for $1,000. He says, okay, I'll do it on Sunday. And the Lord said, no, you take it to them on your way to work this morning. And he brought it to us that Friday morning. The Lord knew we needed gas to get up to Oklahoma. We were preaching up in Oklahoma that weekend. We came back from Oklahoma on the Monday evening, and the second check for $1,000 was in the mail. I'm telling you people, God is wanting to move you into a supernatural realm. But our biggest problem is this. Please hear me. Reason has limited us because we have followed reason, and reason is a no-brainer. That sort of, well, okay, I've given my 10%, so, you know, that's it. Listen, if you limit yourself to that, you're going to limit yourself in terms of the harvest, and you're never going to tap into God's power to get wealth. That the word of what we saw on Monday night. There is a power to get wealth that is part of the establishing of his covenant. God wants to release the resources of heaven so that you can bless all the families of the earth. And you ain't going to bless all the families of the earth while you're limited to a 10% figure. God wants to bring you way beyond the limitations of the law into the abundance of his grace and work and operate within you. And don't say, like I said last night, well, I'll wait until I've got financially established. Listen. You can be going through a trial, great trial of affliction, and be in deep poverty. But grace can spark in you something. What is it? A supernatural joy that gets you out of your greed, out of your selfishness, and brings you into a supernatural mode of giving and sowing, which is in turn going to release the supernatural provision of God into your life. Don't you like that formula? I love that verse. It's so supernatural. In a deep, great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Let me read your Bible. Bev got the Amplified Bible. For in the midst of an ordeal of severe tribulation, their abundance of joy and their depth of poverty together have overflowed in wealth of lavish generosity on their part. How can you imagine those two things work together, joy and poverty? Joy and poverty. It's because grace. Grace was given to them. And Paul's going to write to the church a little later and say, as you abound in all the other areas of charismatic anointing and bestowal, see that you abound in this grace also. It's a grace, it's a grace, it's a grace, it's a grace. You know what? Watch out. If you don't want to get that grace tonight, get out the door right now. I'm warning you. Because we're going to ask for God to pour out that grace upon you tonight. So, I mean, if you don't want to get into this, you say, well, Brother John, you know, I'm too poor, and I just want to, I'm scared. We're just going to ask the Lord to pour. Well, here's the issue. You can resist it, but you can receive it. You can resist it or you can receive it. It's all grace. Now, here's what grace is going to do. Grace is going to take you from being limited by reason and bring you into the realm of revelation. Grace is going to take you from using your reason as to how much you can afford to give into the realm of hearing God's voice and giving by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And that's where God wants to bring us. We're so bound and limited by reason, and He's wanting to bring us over into the realm of revelation. So let's just pray. Let's just ask Him to minister to us right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for that grace, that same grace that was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, to be bestowed on your people this night. Lord, there are many people who are going through great trials of affliction in this building. There are many people who are in deep poverty. Some of us not even in the deep poverty. We're just in lack. We're just in a situation of lack. But Lord, I want to thank You that tonight we can begin to step into a supernatural realm in the area of giving. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that grace will be given to us tonight. There will be such an impartation of joy in this offering time, because Paul goes on to say, God loves hilarious givers. Lord, when the joy of the Lord, the hilarity of the Lord hits us, we will lose self-consciousness. Just like the early disciples were labeled as having been drunk with wine because they started to do things without self-consciousness. They started to do things without inhibitions. And Lord, I pray for that kind of spirit to fall on us in our giving. That as You reveal to us what You want us to do, Lord, there'll be a hilarity and a joy that will overflow, as the Word says, in great liberality tonight. I pray for ears to hear, a sensitivity to Your voice, and a joy in giving like we've never known before. Now, Lord, I release the anointing of Your grace in this place, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And just receive that anointing of grace. If you want it, if you want it, it's going to change you. Just receive that grace that he imparts, it's a supernatural impartation. The grace to give that produces a great joy in the act of giving. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of this teaching. Please continue listening for the next teaching in this series.
What the church has failed to understand is this, or failed to really receive deep inside, is that this is much an aspect of the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5, three chapters earlier, when he said, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It is as much a part of the death of Jesus for you to be made rich as it is for you to be made righteous. He took your poverty as He took your sin. Why are you still carrying it? Now, I'm not getting mad at you. I'm mad at the religion that's deceived us, that's made us accept poverty. I'm mad at religion that somehow gave some sort of a dignity to poverty. Poverty is not dignified. It's a curse. You can't bless all the families of the earth if you're poor. It's not the fulfillment of God's covenant promise to Abraham. How can you bless the families of the earth if you can't even pay attention? See, Jesus became poor so that you, through His poverty, might be made rich. See, the problem we're having with this is the same problem we're having with righteousness. Everybody is trying to produce righteousness instead of receiving the righteousness that Jesus purchased for you and start confessing, I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. But everybody in the church is trying to make themselves righteous, produce righteousness. And we're doing the same thing when it comes to wealth. And as I told you on Monday evening, He gives you the power to get wealth, not the ability. God's not going to bless your efforts to get out of debt on your own. He's only going to impart grace to you that breaks the curse of poverty and that brings you into supernatural abundance so that you can't take credit for your business acumen and your expertise and your wise financial policies, but you have to give credit to God and God alone. It's a grace gift. See, and God's looking for a people who will lay hold of the Word. God's looking for a people who will refuse to put up with poverty another day. Say, on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus and His finished work on the cross, I renounce poverty and I refuse it in all its guises to be welcome in this home. See, the problem with us is this. We welcome poverty like we welcome sickness. What do you do when you get a headache? You take an aspirin. What are you saying? You're welcoming the headache. You're treating it as a normal part of your life instead of saying, no, sickness and disease is a part of me because Jesus took my sickness upon Himself. We become familiar with sickness and we do exactly the same with lack. Instead of rebuking lack, we just, oh, well, I haven't got the money to pay today. What have you just, you've acknowledged that it is a part in your life. Whereas every time there is a manifestation of lack, you should stand against it on the basis of the finished work of Jesus and rebuke poverty. Stand against it. As violently as you would stand against sin's inroads into your life. Why? Why do you have to receive it? You don't have to. He died to take it from you. Let me tell you, He took your poverty so that you might be rich. I love Rodney Howard Brown's definition of rich. Well, and I don't know, he got it from one translation. Well catered for in all the affairs of life. And that really coincides with 2 Corinthians 9 that we're going to look at as we go along. That we can abound unto every good work. Abound unto every good work. We'll have a sufficiency in all things. Now, I believe in the name of Jesus, churches need to start Sunday by Sunday for a time, just standing and taking authority over poverty. Because the chances are that 80% of the people have accepted poverty as a way of life. Have accepted lack as a way of life. I guarantee you that 80% of the people in this congregation order off the menu according to price. If money makes your decisions for you, money is your God. If you order off a menu according to price, then money has supplanted the Holy Spirit as your voice leading you. Now, excuse me getting hard, but
But I just want to show you how poverty is so insidious, and then we wonder, well, Lord, I just can't get out of debt, and I can't get out. I'm telling you, we're going to expose this booger for what it's a horrendous thing. It governs our whole life. We make every decision based on how much money we've got in the bank. Money is our God. Money controls our actions. Money controls our eating. Money controls everything. And then we want, well, Lord, I don't understand why I can't draw close to you. He says, you've got another God. It's time for us to break the curse of poverty. Recognize it for what it is in the church of Jesus Christ, and recognize that Jesus died so that we might be made rich. I'm rich. I'm very rich. I'm real rich. I'm wonderfully rich. I don't own a car, but I'm rich. You understand? Riches are not according to what you have in the bank. Riches is the spirit in your heart of knowing that you have everything that you need to abound unto every good work. That you have everything that you need to bless all the families of the earth. Now, after the Lord set Bear free from the spirit of poverty, we were with a friend of ours in Lakeland, Florida, who talks in millions where we talk in tens of dollars, you know. And we were driving to the airport, and he was telling us about some business deals. And on the airplane going home, Bev said to me, he says, you know, I believe the Lord wants me to ask Jim to release a spirit of wealth on me. He's got a spirit of wealth. He doesn't think in terms of failure. He doesn't think in terms of lack. He doesn't think in terms of refusal or being turned down. He doesn't think in negative terms at all. He just thinks in terms of wealth. He's got a wealthy spirit. So the next time we were down in Florida, in fact, we were vacationing in Jim's cottage that is on an island in the Gulf of Mexico. And we were vacationing there, spent a week on our own as our family. Then Jim and his family joined us at the end of that time. And the last day, we asked Jim to release on us a spirit of wealth. I'm telling you, that's as much a spirit from God as a spirit of joy is. We need a spirit of wealth because He died to make us rich. He took our poverty so that we might be made rich. Aren't you tired of not having a spirit of wealth on you? Always thinking in terms of lack, always thinking in terms of deprivation, always considering everything by the bottom line of how much it costs. God wants to bring you out of that. Glory, 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 glory. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, who though He was rich, for your sakes He became poor, that you and you and you and you, by His poverty, might be made rich. Now, don't spiritualize that verse of Scripture. Oh, well, that's spiritual blessings, Brother John. That's not financial. Listen, the whole context is about finances. It's about money. I'm telling you, God wants you rich. Well, Brother John, I don't think He trusts me with riches because He knows I couldn't handle it. All He wants for you to do is become a giver. Don't try and handle the money. Just let it out. Just let it go. Just sow it. Just give it. Well, I don't need to be rich. I can get by very well in what I've got. Well, why are you so selfish that you won't become a giver to all the families of the earth and bless all the families of the earth? If you don't want money for you, if you want to stay living like you are, at least believe God for His wealth and His riches so that you can start blessing missions around the world, so that you can start giving to those who have need around you, so that you can bless your family members and bless others. I mean, you know, why do you want to stay poor? Give me one good reason why you want to stay poor. When Jesus became poor, so that you might be made rich. Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you for the...
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this or other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com, or you may call us toll-free at 1-800-225-0245. God bless you, and thank you for listening.